Well, how's life treating you right now? How are things going? Pretty good? Got some thumbs up? Good. Some people look a little bit like they're not sure how to answer that. That's okay. Things are different. Circumstances are indeed strange. But what if I told you that no matter what's going on, or what you face now or later, what you've been through or experienced, what if I told you you can have a blessed life? It's not too late. You can have a blessed life. Now, I don't have some amazing 12-step plan or program. I don't have a set of DVDs for you to order. And no, if you order within the next 10 minutes, you're not going to get double quantity. Now wait. Call in. Y'all ever seen those commercials? They're a little bit, you know, strange. They're kind of entertaining. I think they're funny. A lot of people are annoyed by them. Call right now, and you know, and then by the time you've got the phone out, you're about to call, you're waiting to see if he's going to offer even more. You know, you don't want to jump the gun. We've all seen them. But in a serious note, you can have a blessed life. And it's not like some gimmick you see on television or on one of those networks, one of those commercials. It's a real deal. You can have a blessed life. Those things that beset you and tear you down, those things that stress you out and worry you, doesn't matter. You can still have a blessed life. You say, well, Brother Adam, I don't know. You don't know what I've done. I've really messed things up. I'm telling you today, you can seriously have a blessed life. Well, I've pushed some people away. I've caused some problems, and I don't think that I can fix them. I've dug a hole that I'll never get out of. I'm just telling you, you can have a truly blessed life. All you really need is Jesus Christ. That's it. The sooner you come to that realization, the sooner you begin to truly understand what it is to be blessed, and the sooner you can enjoy that blessed life. Because in Jesus Christ, you find lasting purpose. You know, just about any purpose you feel at some point in this life, you know, it changes. And you're no longer needed or serve in that capacity. Whatever your occupation is, one day, if not already, you'll retire. And so if you were, you know, an electrician by trade, well, I mean, I guess you still know how to be an electrician, but, you know, when people retire, their identity changes. You know, their purpose has changed. But in Jesus Christ, we have purpose, and it doesn't change. Our identity doesn't change. In Jesus Christ, we have lasting provision. Everything we stand in need of, He's ready to supply. We have that blessed life because Christ offers us the protection that we need. How about the love? That never failing, always withstanding, you know, cannot be exhausted. That love that God has. You see, He never leaves us, He never forsakes us. And so in Christ, we have all the love we need. We can have a blessed life. We can find our calling. What specifically? I mean, our purpose as a disciple, but specifically God has a role for us to fill. And we can find out what our calling is that He wants for us. And let me tell you this, if God removes a calling, He replaces it with another one. You never have to wonder, what does God want? God has a plan for you. We have security in Him. We find connection with Him. Day by day and moment by moment, the void that sin has brought into our life, Christ wants to fill. And so you can have a blessed life. The focus today is definitely on Jesus. You can fill that void in your life with a relationship or with some materialistic thing or a philosophy or a substance. But that void is going to reappear over and over and over. You can fill the mud hole, but eventually it soaks it up and there's still just an empty hole. So you fill it again and again and again and it dries up. But with Jesus, it's lasting. It's forever. I'm telling you, you can have a blessed life. In fact, in our scriptures today in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 27, hope you found your way by now. It tells just a couple verses for today. This is what happens. This is after Jesus has been teaching about, you know, demon possession and people being freed of that possession. And then he's talking more about it. Jesus does some miraculous things here. And this lady in the crowd, check this out. She says this in verse 27. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." You can have a blessed life. Let's pray and ask God to give us right understanding this morning. Lord, we want to be free of distraction just for a little while as we're in your word. We want to have understanding of what it is that you were sharing with her and with the crowd and what you have preserved for us as believers in your holy word today. So we pray that our attention would be on you, that God, we would understand your message, that we would apply it, and that God, we could enjoy the blessed life that you're talking about. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. What a simple message we're going to have today. You can have a blessed life. You're going to walk out of here today and you're going to be able to say, you know what? The Bible teaches me that I can have a blessed life. I can be blessed. The Bible teaches me that I can and shows me how. You're going to walk out of here knowing that, and then hopefully you're going to have a desire to have a more blessed life. And you're going to leave, and this week's going to be radically different than last week was for you. Because you're going to have a new perspective. You're going to be realigned. Things are going to be put back into focus the way that they're supposed to be. And maybe you're going to hear some things for the first time today. That's totally fine. That's okay. I think there were people when Jesus shared this, it was their first time ever hearing it. So let's see what happens. First of all, today, this woman that spoke up in this crowd after Jesus has been teaching and sharing all this, there are these people that are pressing in. Everybody wants to hear from Jesus. They want to see what he has to show or teach or say. Some people are just, you know, they're just amazed at the things that come out of his mouth. They're shocked. They're trying to find fault with him. Some people are just amazed. Some people like it. You know, he caused a lot of conversation. He was a topic of a lot of debate in his day and time and even today. People get heated when you talk about Jesus. They're either totally accepting, they throw you under the bus for that, or they're somewhere in between. So Jesus is sharing, all these people are there, and this woman speaks up. That's kind of cool that a woman speaks up, because in that culture, in that day and time, you know, nobody cared if a woman spoke up and said anything. That was the way that they had a wrong view. They thought women were less than. Now, if you read and study the scriptures, you know that the Bible teaches that men and women are totally equal. But, you know, for a woman to speak up and for them to record what she had said, you're not going to find a religion that's going to see women in that way. You know, these other ancient religions, you know, they don't treat women with that respect. They don't see women as made in the image of God the way the Bible teaches. But nonetheless, it's recorded here for us, what she says and how Jesus reacts. She's basically echoing exactly what in Luke chapter 1, go ahead, just keep your place and look with me here. Luke chapter 1, go back, it's a few chapters, and this time go to verse 46. Mary is starting a song of praise. She's basically singing and proclaiming this to the Lord, and she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Verse 47, "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." She's talking about herself. "For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed." That's what she's saying. Everybody's going to call me blessed because God's going to use me in this way. So we go back and we're in chapter 11. And what this anonymous woman in the crowd has raised her voice and said, it's basically an echo of what Mary had praised and sang to God. So it's definitely true. I mean, you know, what she's saying about Mary, the mother of Jesus, being blessed. But now Jesus is, you know, he's on that path that he knows he's moving towards that time where he's going to die and take the rightful punishment of death for sinners like you and me. And he knows that's coming. And so he's pronouncing that someday, you know, everybody's going to be blessed just by doing these simple things. This woman was complimenting Mary, who brought Jesus forth. She was the virgin. She was the part of the miraculous conception and birth of Jesus. God used her in a great way. She's important. I mean, but if your child was Jesus, I mean, who would not be a proud mom or dad of Jesus? Could you imagine Jesus playing baseball? I mean, he's the Son of God. He probably got a home run every single time. You talk about pitching a no-hitter. Nobody could stand up in the play. And the umpire, he'd have to call everything a strike, you know? I'm being facetious. I'm joking around there a little bit. But think about what Jesus has just done in the passage before this. He's cast out a demon. And he's teaching all of these experienced and well-to-do rabbis. And he's saying things that are way above and beyond their understanding. They're learning brand new things. And you see the authority and the power, the unction that Jesus has? I mean, who wouldn't be proud to be, hey, that's, you know, that's Jesus. That's my boy. You could see people saying that for sure. But she's complimenting Mary. She's saying, wow. And you know, who wouldn't be proud of that if they had reared a child to be that way or something like that? Casting out these demons, doing all these great things in service to God. Do you know how children act or behave oftentimes is seen as a reflection on their parents, whether that's right or wrong, or oftentimes I guess maybe it is, but maybe sometimes it's not. But here she's stating that the mom, oh, she must be blessed. So she has an idea in her mind of what it means to be a blessed person, to be a blessed mother, to be a blessed woman. Think how blessed she must be that Jesus is her son. How happy, how proud, how content. She's been gifted by God with this opportunity. And what she's saying is undoubtedly correct. But it's simply just an echo of what Mary said would happen. We would agree today that Mary was very blessed to have been used, you know, of God in that way, to be visited by an angel, be told these things, to experience that, to see it firsthand. Yeah, she had difficulty. Yeah, people looked at her in a different way because of what she went through, you know, having a child, having to move because of what people might say or think. But overall, we'd say she was blessed. I like to think of it kind of like this. When people see me out on a date with my wife, they say, man, you sure are a lucky guy. My wife's so beautiful. And they're telling me that I'm a lucky guy. They're telling me I'm blessed. So they're complimenting me. Hey, you did a good job. Attaboy. But deep down, they're actually complimenting my wife and saying that she's beautiful. As long as they say she's beautiful and they don't take it too far, they don't get punched in the face. But they're complimenting me and my wife at the same time. They're saying, I did well, but deep down they're complimenting. So deep down, I mean, this woman's complimenting Jesus, actually. She's saying that Mary's blessed, but she's saying that Jesus is the blessing. Don't miss that. That's the key to understanding all of this. Jesus actually is the blessing. So in this short opening scene, we see, and it's just a small snippet, it's just a little small story here. This woman speaking up in a crowd, Jesus, she's pointing out, he's extraordinary, he's special, he's different. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, you're blessed. Now in her situation, she's saying, you know, you'd be blessed to be this, the mother of Jesus. But we can all agree you'd be blessed to have a relationship with Jesus as Savior. Amen? It's truly a compliment to Jesus. She's saying Jesus is a blessing. And in this matter, she is undoubtedly correct. She at least partially recognizes that Jesus is great. She at least partially recognizes his greatness, that there's more to him than what meets the eye. Secondly, we see that Jesus offered the true definition of a blessed life. Now let me explain to you how I'm looking at the scriptures and I'm getting these points for my message. I want you to understand that because my goal as preacher today is not just to deliver some fascinating message going to keep your attention or something like that. I'll feel like I've done my job if when you walk away you feel like you understand this passage better. You feel like you can read your Bible better. Then I think I'm doing a good job then, okay? So let me tell you why I conclude that this is a second point. This is a standalone point. This portion of Scripture is what we call narrative. This is a narration of events that took place. And whenever you come across a passage that's narrative, you have what we might call different scenes that take place. This kind of has one scene, but in it there are a few actions that take place, okay? So we're breaking down one scene into several different actions, the different things. There's something that happens, and then we see that there's a reason why Jesus must respond. Next, we'll look at his response, but we're seeing that Jesus has a reason to respond. He finds a teachable moment. He could have just said, "Thank you so much, ma'am. Yeah, my mom's pretty blessed to have a son like me." And it would have been true, pretty conceited. It would have been true, but he didn't say that. He finds an opportunity to reveal the true definition of a blessed life. So Jesus offers the true definition of a blessed life. That's a separate point for a reason. You divide the text up, but there's one overall point that you need to get from this passage, and it has to do with having a blessed life. For the sermon today, you can have a blessed life. Everybody say, "I can have a blessed life." That's the point you need to get walking away from this passage. I can, and then the how, okay? And so Jesus is revealing that you can have a blessed life. Let that sink in. Because oftentimes we think of a blessed life and we think of what somebody else has or what they're able to do. And we forget that we too can be content. We can have a blessed life as well. So let it sink in that you can have a blessed life. Why do I think that? Because Jesus is about to give away the recipe. He's about to tell you how to have that blessed life. I was talking to my grandmother a couple weeks ago. I called her up. We were talking, my nanny, my dad's mom, and we're talking about things. I said, "You know, there were some cakes that you and my papa has since gone to be with the Lord. He's in heaven, rejoicing with him now. There were some cakes that you guys used to make. They used to make them for competitions at church and fun things like that, or bake sales, or just to be making them to entertain friends or family, or, you know, just whatever. It was a big deal for my grandpa to make a cake since he was such a severe diabetic. Never stopped him from tasting it and trying it, but he would make them. He enjoyed food, probably too much. That's where I get it from. But I called my nanny and I said, "You know, I was thinking about those cakes," and she said, "Well, why don't you let me give you the recipe?" It had never occurred to me that even though Papa's gone and she lives 800 miles away, I could still enjoy that cake if I'll just follow the what? The recipe. I'm not the greatest cook or baker in the world or whatever. My wife is the best cook, greatest baker in the world. And so I decided that I'd ask her to help. So she goes to the grocery store and she gets all the necessary things and we start making, you know, a cake here or a cake there, whatever. And guess what? I enjoyed this nice, scrumptious, delicious cake and gave a bunch of it away to other people. You know, it's great, delicious. I loved it. Tastes just like they used to make it. You know why? I followed the recipe. Now, some people would say, "Well, you just can't make it like Mama makes it." Okay, there's some truth to that, okay? There's some truth to that. I get it. Mama makes it a certain way, that sort of thing. I get it. But if you follow the recipe, you can still be pretty blessed with a nice surprise. I mean, I still could taste the memory. It's very nostalgic. Emotional even for me. Wow, it reminds me, it takes me back to that moment. I can enjoy that because I follow the recipe. Well, Jesus is about to tell us the recipe for a blessed life. You can read it in the text. He's not intending for it to be some secret. You know, somebody pulls you aside, "Let me tell you the secret of the Scriptures." It's pretty plain. It's right there. He tells us exactly what to do. Now, Jesus does not deny that Mary's blessed. And I'm not denying that she's blessed either. But Jesus does say, "Blessed rather." So there's more to it. And what I would say is he's not denying that she's blessed. He's not saying that, no, that's not the way. I mean, there is a blessing, but he's saying the true, the real, the lasting, the big blessing, the main point is still to come. That's what he's saying before he begins to reveal it. The heart of what he is explaining is that there's more than what meets the eye. Jesus is not just a good son that a mom or dad could be proud of. Jesus is, as the prophets foretold, the Messiah. Jesus is the Anointed One. Jesus, in fact, is worthy of worship. That's how Luke is recounting these things in his gospel account. It's not like they're all standing around telling stories. It's like, "Hey, you remember that one time that lady was telling that story? She was going on and on about how proud your mom should be of you, Jesus?" No, the point of him recording this, he was led by the Holy Spirit to record this to show how Jesus responded. And he responds by sharing what the true key to being blessed is. It's not being the earthly mother or father of Jesus, although certainly she was, and we could see what a blessing that was. You know, the true blessing wouldn't be able to say, you know what, Jesus is my half-brother. I'm the half-brother or sister of Jesus. That'd be great, that'd be cool and everything, but that's not what Jesus says is the greatest blessing. The key to a truly blessed life is exactly what the Scriptures tell us, is to hear and keep the Word of God. That's it. You've got the recipe. You can write it down on a piece of paper, take a mental note, whatever you got to do today. Do you walk out of here? You got the key. I gave it to you. Didn't cost you a dime. It's free. Use it. Hear and keep the Word of God. Now, we can expound on this in several ways today. I'm going to do that. First of all, I mean, you could think and say, well, you know what? Hear and keep the Word of God. We've got the Bible. What does the Bible say? You can be blessed in your decision-making by following what God says. You can be blessed in your decision-making by following what God says. Let me give you an example. Ephesians chapter 5 says this, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk. That's your decision-making, your lifestyle, your choices. Not as unwise, but as wise. Verse 16, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So you could be blessed in your decision-making just by doing these things. Be wise. Don't be foolish. Make good choices. You can be blessed. Just hear what the Word of the Lord says and obey it. Keep it. Do it. But not just in decision-making. And I could give you tons of examples, but I don't want to delay us and keep us here all day. The recipe's simple. You can be blessed in your relationships by following what God says in His Word. Let's begin with the relationship with your parents. What does the Bible say? Well, it's simple. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. What are you supposed to do when it comes to your parents? Honor them. Honor them in their old age. Take care of them. Well, not just in relationship with your parents, but what about within a household? The Scriptures say, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. That's what the Bible says. Now, let me be careful to point out something that people miss when they read that. That's from Ephesians chapter 5, and it picks up where I left off just a moment ago. The verse before that says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should all be submitting, deferring to one another. Now, verse 25 of that same chapter says this for husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus died for the church. So God's telling you, husbands, you got to be willing to lay down your life for your wife, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. You can be blessed in your relationships. It gives more examples. The Word, the Bible does. You can read about how parents are supposed to treat children, how you're supposed to treat the stranger, you know, the alien to your land, you know, the person who's just passing through. The Bible teaches us so much about relationships, but we can have a blessed community that we live in. Let me show you what this says from Matthew chapter 25. It says this, beginning in verse 31, talking really about the final judgment. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. and he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. That's how we can have a blessed community. If we treat others as God would have us treat them, you can be blessed financially even. Look at what the Word of God tells us about finances. I mean, over and over and over again, the Bible talks about money. Why? Because God knows that that is a value system that we have and keep. You know, we treasure certain things. And so that speaks volumes about our hearts. This is some of the things that the Bible teaches us so we can be wise financially, so we can be blessed. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. So the Bible's teaching us that money's not going to make us happy or blessed. But what does the Bible say we need to do with money? Proverbs 13:22 says this, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. In Philippians 4:19, we're told a comforting thing, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He's bountiful. He's able to bless us and take care of us. Proverbs goes on to say this in chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper so that there will be no collecting when I come. And our church even can be blessed. Just in general, our church can be blessed if we'll do what the Word of God teaches us. The Great Commission, verse 16 of Matthew 28 begins like this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We can be blessed if we just do what God tells us to do, to be disciples and make disciples. Jesus is saying that you will be blessed if you hear the Word of God and follow it, if you'll keep it, if you'll obey it. True blessedness, according to Jesus, is found in obedience to God's revelation. One more passage I want you to turn to today. It's in Luke's Gospel. It's chapter 8, and I want you to look at verse 21. Luke chapter 8, verse 21. In verse 19, it says this, then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. Jesus' mother and brothers are coming to find him, but they can't get to him. There's too many people. In verse 20, he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and what? And do it. Jesus is consistent. It's the same recipe he's been sharing this whole entire time. Whether he's in this town or in that town, if Jesus appeared here before us right now, he would tell us to hear the word of God and to do it, to keep it. The main point that Luke's gospel is getting at has little to do with earthly relationships, finances, or our conditions. The main point is that we can be blessed by hearing and keeping or being obedient to the revealed will of God. You can trust what the Bible teaches about Jesus. And you can follow through with what the Scriptures say to do. And they tell us to place our faith and our trust in Him. That is how we have the blessed life. Does God want to bless us with materialistic? Maybe, sometimes. But you know what? If I'm living the blessed life, I can truly say in faith this. Whether I have plenty or I have a little bit, I've learned whatever state to find myself in to be content. Why? Because the blessed life is not dependent upon earthly things. That's what the Scriptures are teaching us. The blessed life is all about coming to faith in Christ. This woman had spoke up and told Jesus, blessed is the womb that bore you. Your mother must be so blessed. And Jesus says, you can be blessed. Just hear the Word of God and keep it. That's why we have the Bible today, folks. It's God expressing through the prophets, and all the writings, the Scriptures, who Jesus is and what we're to make of Him. You can have the blessed life, and it all depends on what you make of Jesus. You've got to make that decision today. If you're trying to bake up a blessed life and you've left out Jesus, you're not following the recipe. It's never going to be what you want it to turn out to be. Today I want to invite you to try that blessed life. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. If that's you, then today, let today be the day that you give your faith to Him. And you say, Lord, I want to have life and I want to have it more abundantly. I want to have a life that pleases You. I want to have all that You have in store for me. You would come to the Lord and you would, in prayer, say, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died in my place. I believe that He's the Son of God, that He was crucified, that He was resurrected, and He's coming again. You would commit your life to Him. You confess before others that He is Lord over all. That's how you begin to have a blessed life. If that's you today and you'd say, well, preacher, I want that. Let me tell you what you need to do. In just a moment, we're all going to stand and we're going to have a time of invitation. We're going to sing. Don't focus on what people are singing or anything like that. You want to come and you want to know how to begin that relationship with Christ, you come on up and you meet Brother Tim. He'll be standing up front. You just come up and talk to him and just tell him, I want to follow Christ. I want to be a Christian. I want to know how I can place my faith and trust in Him. And he'll sit you down and he'll explain it to you. I know maybe crowds can be intimidating. Maybe COVID wants to keep us distant, whatever the case may be. I'm going to be around for a little while, so will Brother Tim. We'll be glad to guide you in the Scriptures and share that with you after the service, but I want to invite you to make it public. Speak up and just come forward. Everybody here is going to be excited for you. I want to make another invitation. Maybe today you need to realign your values. If you'll realign your values, if you'll basically recount things in your life, take a step back, you might realize, you know what, I'm more blessed than I thought I was. God's given me everything I need. I don't need to be chasing after and desiring these other things and letting them come to the forefront of my attention and being number one in my life, because according to this recipe, I am blessed. Maybe you need to reconsider your circumstances. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you need to make a commitment today to stand on the Word of God, to hear it and to keep it. However God's dealing with your heart today, I want to invite you to say yes to Jesus. I think that in that crowd that day, I just can't help but think that there were many people that heard what He said. They saw what He'd done. They saw how amazing He was. But then they heard what He said and they went back and they studied the Scriptures and they began to think, hear the Word of God. Well, what did the prophets have to say? And they started to put two and two together and they realized Jesus is the Messiah. When you realize that and you have that relationship with Him, all of a sudden you realize, I can have a blessed life.